Lord, help us to commence with hymn 1104. Convinced as a sinner to Jesus I come, informed by the gospel for such there is room. Overwhelmed with sorrow for sin will I cry, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. 1104.
Read together from the Word of God, from the Book of Job, chapter 13, followed by Psalm 31. Job, chapter 13, followed by Psalm 31. Lo, mine eye has seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. I'm sorry, I read the wrong chapter. Chapter 14. Man that is born of a woman is a few days until full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree if he be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that a tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall sleep, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? Or the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come? Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps, dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest for ever against him, and he passeth. Thou changest his countenance, and sendest him away. His sons come to honour, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defence, to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. Thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbours, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvellous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. May God so bless his word and help us to pray. Our kind and merciful God, we would come and fall before thee at this time. And Lord, thou seest the hearts of all mankind. And Lord, thou art aware of all those that are oppressed and heavy laden and burdened by their sin and also by the sins of others. But, O Lord, how true it is that the sins of others lieth at their door and not ours. It may affect us, Lord, but, Lord, what is our reaction to the sins of others? For one sin doth not cancel out another sin. But, O Lord, thou knowest, we have sins of our own. And, Lord, these things cast us down when we may feel to be in so much need and discover, Lord, what wretches we must be in thy sight. Oh, we do surely believe that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. But when we can't find any goodness, Lord, in ourselves, we begin to wonder, are our steps guided by thee? Lord, if we have been mistaken, and if we have been misled, we plead with thee, thou yet have mercy and compassion upon us, that, Lord, we might be led forth by the right way. That we might prove my times are in thy hand. Lord, thou knowest, we're so apt to want an extension to our times. The very thought of facing a death and the eternity sometimes causes us great concern. But sometimes, Lord, there is a gracious hope raised up when we look beyond this life, beyond the grave, and look towards that heaven built for thy dear people. And we can say, for there I long to be, weary, O Lord, of earth, myself and sin. Lord, what a complex substance that makes. But, we would thank thee that there is such a thing as redeeming grace, a pardon and forgiveness, Lord, with thee. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Lord, we ask of thee that thou wilt come and cast away all our fears, our poverty, Lord, in preaching. Lord, though our words be few, may it be with application to our souls. But this, Lord, is what we long for, and this is what we desire. Tell us, Lord, where thou dost dwell at known. Tell us, Lord, where we can abide with thee and find shelter with thee, Lord, the peace and rest. Lord, do not let the turmoil of life overthrow our faith. Faith, O Lord, oft times is put to the test, though faith in the furnace tried, how we need it to be tried. Because, Lord, what filth and dross is found even in vice. A desire working there that, Lord, we might be given the opportunity to face, yea, uncarnal things. And, Lord, that is not the truth at all with us when we are in a right mind. But rather, Lord, we may be blessed and favoured with a few crumbs that fall from the Master's table. And we ask thee, Lord, to remember the congregation that is met here this night. And thou knowest, Lord, it is a good proportion of the younger generation, Lord, with us, which we would thank thee for. Lord, we cannot do much for them. We cannot help them ourselves. But, Lord, we pray there may be found many a Ruth among them who was found steadfastly minded, yea, continuing to the end, desiring, Lord, to follow in the footsteps and faith of her dear mother-in-law. Oh, we ask, Lord, that it may be so, that even in these walls, steadfastly minded, like the Apostle Paul, who said, I'm determined to know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Therefore, Lord, we would be spared, Lord, from the effects of scandal and gossip. And, Lord, that we might say like he, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, we have that determination, Lord, in our hearts really this night. That, oh, we might preach nothing else save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That, Lord, our pursuits in this life now might be that we should find Jesus in the pathway. We might be so blessed for thy companionship that, Lord, thou might find us, draw near to us, Lord, and go with us. For, Lord, when thou dost go with us, is it not then that our hearts burn within us? Oh, that thou dost talk to such vile wretches as we, determined, Lord, not to know anything among men of who shall be the greatest. For thou hast said and told thy disciples so, that except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Surely, Lord, if we resent being made as little children, if we resent being converted, and, Lord, leaving all our big self behind, have mercy, Lord, upon us, and yea, convert us, Lord. Oh, what a painful path we have proved it to be, when thou dost come and bring us down. Lord, many we would pray for this night, in this vicinity and area, those we love for the truth's sake, and ask, Lord, thou wilt bless them and bind them together in union with Jesus and the Church of God. For truly the Church has but one foundation. And, Lord, what foundation do we want? Lord, if one might speak for others, Lord, we want a foundation that will stand, a foundation that will hold us up while time exists, a foundation, Lord, when we come to that trying day, oh, Lord, to give an account of every deed done in the body. We know truly, Lord, a long life journey, there is many a trial and many a problem. How oft times fear does fill our heart with dismay, fearing we shall not be able to stand in the trying day when the fiery furnace does try us. But Lord, oh, we pray that when such times come, Lord, be thou our helper, our strength and our portion. We ask, dear Lord, in thy mercy, thou wilt go before us in all the untrodden steps of life's journey. Lord, how oft times we have prayed this prayer because, Lord, we know not what lies before us. And from experience past, we have been poor examples of weathering those storms. But Lord, our comfort is this, that thou hast been our helper in those storms. Thou hast said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. We ask thee, Lord, to blot out all our sins and all our transgressions and lead us, Lord, to Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. O Lord, lead us in that way to preach and to hearken this night. O Lord, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection. We plead with thee, Lord, oh, that thou would grant us that vision of that all-atoning blood of thine, which that alone can cleanse us from all sin. Lord, oh, seal that peace and that promise to our hearts. Oh, let us but hear thee say, I love thee well, my child. We ask for much grace, Lord, that we might be living examples before the younger generation. Grant us grace, Lord, to walk, yea, in thy ways and thy commandments, glorifying Jesus Christ and him alone. That, Lord, they might all behold and see that there is a God in heaven, a God that they need, a God alone that can save them. Yea, that we all might hear that blessed truth, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled and careful about many, many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that better part which shall not be taken away from her. Lord, let it be so with us, that, oh, we might surrender all things willingly and in love for thy dear namesake, and walk in humility and union with thee. And Lord, should there be those this night who have that personal exercise of their own selves with regard to walking in like commands and ordinances, not by the influence of man, but, Lord, by the irresistible love of Christ, which draws them unto thee. So, Lord, do bring those things to a point where they have no option but to own thee and to confess thee. Yea, to walk in thy ways and thy commandments. O Lord, hear us now. Poor and needy, Lord, absolute dependent upon thee. Do not, Lord, cast us away. Lord, forbid it that we should drag thy dear name through the dust. We ask all these things with the pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, and we ask it in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone we ask it. Amen.
Hymn 926. When overwhelmed with doubts and fear, great God, do thou my spirit cheer. Let not my eyes with tears be fed, but to the rock of ages led. 926.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I seek to draw your attention to the 31st Psalm. I'm reading those two verses, 14 and 15. Psalm 31, verses 14 and 15. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, and from them that persecute me. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, and from them that persecute me. The psalmist here is dwelling much upon the effects of trusting in God when the enemy doth so heavily beset us round on every side, when they take counsel together against us and devise to take away our life. He speaks of himself here and says, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbours, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. The dear man of God here had come to that point in his life where he felt useless. Not good for anybody or anything, and a burden unto his own self. And yet amidst all this sorrow, he came to this point by the grace of God. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. This wasn't a presumption on his part. No, not at all. But surely it was this. By the grace of God, he'd put his sole trust in the Lord. And I say the Lord does not turn that poor sinner away who puts his trust in him. For he said in verse 15, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, and from them that persecute me. When unmindful of God, we might well say that it all depends upon other people's reaction. It all depends on how other people will cooperate. And oftentimes we find this. We cannot have any trust in them at all, but just the reverse. Where indeed Satan uses them to cast us down. My times are in thy hand. We read in that beautiful chapter in Job where he found exactly this, and he could say this, that all his times were appointed by him. Yes, those appointed times, they were in the Lord's hand. He had much conflict and much persecution from those round about him. I say, where would Job have been if his times had not been in the Lord's hand? Why, surely he would have been lost. His profession, his trust would have been a disaster. And it must be said, and so would mine, had it not been for the Lord. And so would yours. You may wonder why these things have come about in your life. But oh, we come to this very narrow point, and yet a point of rejoicing. My times are in his hand. We therefore need to look and to discern a little with regard to the hand of the Lord. Remember one time when things were being deceitful against David, he said, "Is not this the hand of Joab?" Isn't he thus working something behind the scenes deceitfully? Yea, to justify the wicked and to overthrow the authority of David. But not just the authority of David, but that of the Lord. My times are in his hand. You may have a Joab in your life. You may have a Joab in your heart through fierce temptations. But I say, will not the Lord discover it? Does he not show to you that your times and their times are in the Lord's hand? And how true the hymn writer when he said, "Not a single shaft can hit until the God of love sees fit." Is it your fear this night that, oh, a shaft might well hit? And if it does and takes my life away from me here below, and I found unprepared for eternity, surely I shall be lost forever. My case is hopeless. I cannot redeem myself. I cannot justify my sins. And are not my iniquities sewn up in a bag, as we read this morning? Why, I say, my times are in his hand. And we saw, see this so clearly, that this was so eternally, that Jesus sought us when we did not seek him, but when we were strangers travelling from the fold of God. And some of us can say with confidence, like Satan's blind slave, "I sported with death." Oh, that the appointed time that came when he called by grace. My friend, we did not vote for it. We did not apply for it. In fact, we turned our backs upon it. But friends, our mercies at times are in his hand. When he does call his people by his grace. Listen, every one of us here were lost and ruined sinners at birth. And but for his love and his mercy, but for Jesus dying on the cross, then there's no hope for us at all. For the word of God declares, "The man that sinneth shall surely die." And who is there amongst us here tonight can say, "Well, that does not apply to me." It surely does apply to you. And you are in a great need, I say, yea, to be led and to be taught of him in these matters. That we need to be born again. My times are in his hand. I say, what great preparations there are. What great excitement there is when another baby is due to be born into this world. How everyone seeks to rally round, to organise and to arrange everything, that babe's times will be in the hands of good people, and they shall receive the best done for them possible. But listen, we need a new birth. We do. We need to be born again. And are you saying in your heart, like Nicodemus, how can these things be? My friend, they're not in the hands of man, else these things could never be. I say, what man can do, take away the heart of stone and give to a person a heart of flesh? Men indeed might be able to give a person a different heart physically, but friend, they can't take away your nature or my nature. Hast thou been crying out before God, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? What a confession that is, O wretched man that I am. And wretched we are indeed. When thus we've come so near unto the truth and sat under the truth and have not heeded to us, to it, and yet death indeed approaches us. The writing, as it were, is written upon the wall. And I say, will the Lord have mercy, I say, upon us? Friend, don't let anybody say or believe Satan that it's too late. Friend, it's never too late. People often think of the foolish virgins, but the time they got back, it was too late. My friend, that is a deceitful error that is often put back. We read, and the door was shut. What a solemn thought that is. The door is shut. Friend, we need him. Oh, to put oil within our lamps. We need him to make us right and to prepare us for eternity. Oh, my times are in his hand. Oh, that he comes and takes away the heart of stone and gives to us a heart of flesh. I want to bring to you this point. The Lord has said, except ye repent, ye shall perish in your sins. I know in some circles the word repentance is not very acceptable, but we must not give heed to them, but rather give heed to him whom you find your times are in his hand. And therefore, if he has said, except ye repent, there's a great need of repentance. I say, has the Lord brought you to repentance? And what is repentance, friends? Why is a change of direction, being redirected from the way of sin and hell and brought to walk now in the path of holiness and righteousness, brought under the influence of the love of Jesus, to say, I do not want this world. All I want to know is Jesus and his saving love and that sweet assurance that though I'm such a vile sinner, he suffered, bled, and died for me. Yes, this is what the newborn child of God will need. Friend, we know the newborn babe has to have the right food. You don't give them anything. Friend, God is so wise and so gracious. He knows how to feed your poor soul. He knows what to give you. And he feeds you on the best of heavenly fare. Oh, my times are in his hand. What are you now being fed with? Yea, is it not to know your own state and condition? It's feeding you with fresh desires, to be nothing in your own estimation, changing your direction, yea, to follow in the way which Jesus walked, to follow the way that he has bid you go. Yes, my times are in his hand. I say he and he alone has the wisdom and the understanding to feed a newborn child of God. What for? That he might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Hast thou any knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you knowledge, indeed, what it is to grow in grace? Instead of growing bigger, is it not, you grow smaller? To grow in grace, is it not to make you honest and sincere in your prayers and in your desires? Yes, to grow in grace, to discover your need and a dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he surely will supply all his people's need. Yea, he has supplied it and prepared it by dying upon the cross, by coming into this world for this set purpose alone. Yea, that we might find peace with God through Jesus Christ, his own dear Son. Yes, my times are in his hand. What a mercy, I say, if the Lord has come and touched thy eyes, that you've seen things that you have never seen before. I say, see how he blessed blind Bartimaeus. He did indeed, because the Lord opened his spiritual eyes before he did his earthly eyes. He said unto him, what would thou me have do unto thee? Why, he said, oh, that I might see. Friend, when he heard it was Jesus that passed by, it filled his heart with heavenly desires. And therefore he cried out, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Would the mercy of anybody else have done him any good? If he had a first class specialist who may have opened his eyes somewhat, have helped him? No, my friend. He had the heavenly physician himself. Yes, and you know that your times are in his hand. The time when he should pass by. Yes, that you should hear it to be so. And the burning desires of your soul then was, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Oh, is mercy a real theme of your heart and soul? Is not this part of the change? Who is it that needs mercy? My friend, what is he whom the Lord does show to himself what a needy sinner he is? And what do we stand in need of? Why, pardon and forgiveness. Only the Lord, I say, can give this to us. Yes, my times are in his hand. When thus he stretches forth his hand and lifts the poor sinner up, why, how we know it is he that is the heavenly friend. The man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves in Jesus' parable. Remember, it was a parable. And those who ought to have come to his need, they did nothing about it at all. And so they passed by on the other side. I asked a person, an older man, a little while ago, with regard to a new man who had gone out to preach, how he felt about him, how he got on with him. He stopped and thought for a moment. He said, well, he didn't come anywhere where I was. He passed by on the other side. And I thought, well, it was a very apt remark, and I think I knew what he meant. My times are in his hand, where the Lord does not pass by on the other side, like the priest and the Levite. No, he comes where the poor sinner is. He doesn't ask him all right, or tell him he'll be better when he enacts all his good works again, takes a little exercise and shows his resilience to these robbers. Not so, my friend. He comes and pours in oil and wine, and he makes facilities to carry him to the right place. I say, our times are in his hand. I often thought about dear Jonah, where the Lord prepared a great fish to bring him back where the Lord would have him be. He didn't vomit up Jonah on any beach or any place. He vomited him up on the right place. Who would have thought that the Lord would have brought Jonah back in such a vehicle as this, and put him in the right place to set off to Nineveh again? Friends, our times are in his hand. And we read this, and the word of the Lord came again the second time. My friend, our times are in his hand. And you know, he doesn't alter his language to us. If he has said to you, go, he still says, go. And he means it. Yes, indeed, he'll have to go. Yes, and declare the word of the God to the people whom the Lord will send us. Oh, I say, my times are in his hand. How often, like Jonah, we may be so full of fears because of the political situation. Why? They are the enemies of Israel. And for me to preach the gospel there will indicate surely that I am a traitor to the people of God. Friends, my times are in his hand. He taught Jonah a wonderful lesson. Down in the depths, down in the depths, my friend, his times is in his hand. And he said, salvation is of the Lord. Oh, how we need to remember that. Salvation is of the Lord. It does not indeed depend upon a group of men or the decision of man. No, it got nothing to do with politics at all, who are our outward enemies and so on, who are a threat unto us. No, does not the Lord take all those things into consideration? And does he not make the word of Jonah effective? Yea, that they mourned and say, and in sackcloth and ashes. Why? Or where do we see such repentance, such mourning today. The collective power, or should I say, the power of God among people collectively. Yes, as it was under the preaching of Jonas. Why, my times are in his hand. I want to come to another most definite point, and it's this. There'll be nothing left over of the praise of any situation for you or for me to exalt us, to lift us up, or that we might be seen as somebody among the society. Oh no, my friends, our times are in his hand. And he surely will humble his people under his almighty hand. Have you lived to prove that humbling is a painful experience? When we've been humbled under the hand of Almighty God, our prayer will often be, Lord, do not let me get into that proud situation again whereof I need humbling. The experience is sanctified unto the Lord's people. Our times are in his hand to teach us, that we may learn things in no other way than through the mighty hand of God. Oh, my times are in my hand. Men will often say, I wish I only had my time all over again. But why? They may think they shall be more successful. Friend, I'm sure of this. I don't want my time over again, if it's out of the Lord's hand, but only that I might be in his hand, and know that my times are in his hand, that he has ordered all things well. It is a common phrase amongst us, isn't it? If I'd known these things, I wouldn't have done it. If I'd known these things, I'd arrange things differently. But we didn't, did we? But God does, my friend. And it's a mercy when we're in his hand, that all things are working together for good. He doesn't order these things that you might run into more conflict, grow bigger and bigger in self, that we might indeed be brought down low. No. It is the Lord that guides our steps and fixes the way in which we shall tread. Oh, dear Job, that gracious man, he said, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Come forth as gold. Not many, I suppose, have walked in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, of Job, have they? No. We may think we have. But nevertheless, was not Job's portion and condition weighed out to him in the Lord's hand himself. And this is the point that we need to emphasize. As the Lord so taught the dear Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, I say, my grace is sufficient for you. How often we have to prove it, how we tremble at the very thought of it. Lord, does this mean more fire? Does it mean more persecution? Does it bring more bringing down of self? Why, these things might be. But I say, what a blessing to know our times are in his hand. Therefore, his grace is proportionate to our needs. We might look at our needs and say how hopeless and how impossible our situation is. I do not know what to say or what to do or where to go. I say, here's grace, all working in our heart to do the right thing, to say the right thing, and more than that, to think the right thing. Oh, how often I've thought this. What a blessing heaven will be to be delivered from all evil, including evil thoughts. Friends, what a relief. At times, in his hand, he'll free us from those evil thoughts. And also willing and ready to declare that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. My times are in his hand. Why, he is omnipotent, isn't he? There's nothing in this world, there's nothing in your heart, there's nothing in the heart of your adversaries, there's nothing in the heart of those who you love and love you. But your times are in his hand. He orders all things well, after the counsel of his own will. My friend, how humbling that is. How blessed that is. How good it is when we are brought to fall upon our knees and thank him for all he has done and all that he has given. Oh, I say, to thank him and not to be ashamed of what Jesus has done in us and for us. No. My times are in his hand. You might say, when should I speak and what shall I say? There is a time, is there not, to speak, and a time to keep silence. And Satan will try and bring you to confusion even by that. But I say, my times are in his hand, that he leads you to the throne of grace, to pour out your soul before him. Yes, to pour it out. What a worthy that is. My times are in his hand. How many times did dear Hannah go to the temple? How many times she must have prayed over that vexed question of having no children when she was tantalized and tormented by Peninnah, who indeed was so fertile? It was a sore point with her. Doesn't God answer prayer? My friend, until the day come when Eli of all people come and accused her of being a daughter of Belial, and because she was praying, and but her lips were moving but no sound, she said, "Nay, I'm not a daughter of Belial, but I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and I have been pouring out my soul unto the Lord." Oh, my times are in thy hand. To get to the throne of grace, my friends, and to pour out our soul before the Lord. How oft times our pouring out has been limited. I can't tell him everything. I keep a certain amount back, my friend, but God knows everything already. And he does not lift the hand of affliction and give the answer to your prayers until you are brought honest to him and sincere. I poured out my soul before the Lord. Everything has been shown. Everything has been revealed. I like it very much how the good man, Mr. Philpott, puts it. Like a sack of corn that is full to the brim and is split open, it pours out on the ground. Full to the brim, can hold no more. So I say, my times are in his hand. Lord, I can hold no more. I can take no more. Ah, oh, friends, it's a real thing, isn't it? We come to that place, isolated and separated from other people. They do not understand us, friends. We cannot make them understand. But the one who does understand, we may be keeping back from. My times are in his hand. And so we find this, oh, that was sanctified to her. Her prayer there was answered. And he blessed her with that child Samuel. Yes, my times are in his hand. Some might say, did she know what she was doing of by giving that young child into Eli's hands? Yea, and those two evil men, Hophni and Phinehas. You see, that is ridiculous. No, my friend, at times were in his hand. He had need of that young child, but his honour and glory alone. Yea, for the good of Israel, for the profit of the truth amongst them. My times are in his hand. What a blessing it is to have it sanctified to us, that we have done what is right, that we have the answer of a good conscience before the Lord, irrespective of what men might say or think. We are nothing, but the Lord Jesus Christ is all in all to us, and salvation is in his hand. We know all the wrong ways, but Jesus knows the right way. And his continuous message unto his disciples and the apostles and all those that would follow, that would be found followers of him, was this: follow thou me. My times are in his hand. We sometimes make a mistake here, don't we? When the Lord is speaking to us, we may think our portion of forecast affliction is more than we can bear. So we turn and look in another direction and say, and what shall this man do? And what shall this man do? Friend, our times are in his hand, and so are the times of others. And that affair is not for our decision. So Jesus says to Peter, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He said that to Peter before, hadn't he? He has said it to you before. He hasn't changed his mind. He says it to you again. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. And are we reluctant, yea, to follow him under his guidance and direction? Why, my times are in thy hand. The dear man was looking for deliverance. I like that word, you know, deliverance. When we're shut up, when we cannot break out, we cannot go forth. Deliverance, friends. He is our great deliverer. My times are in his hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies. We have a multitude of enemies. It may be this. We haven't seen heretofore we have more enemies within than we have without. But he can deliver us from them. He can cause the conflict to cease. And he can give to us submission unto his will. Ah, my times are in his hand. Satan will say, you're tearing off more than you can deal with. Ah, my friend, even those things are in the Lord's hand. And he said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And oh dear John the Baptist, as he come to the end of his days, he said with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, he noted his time was in his hands. He must increase, but I must decrease. I must decrease. Friends, our times are in his hand. What are we looking for? A tablet on the wall, and a wonderful headstone to our grave, great recordings of men concerning herself. What good would that do our poor needy soul? Friends, our times are in his hand. Why, it is Jesus Christ and he alone that can take our poor soul from this world of sin and woe and take it home to glory, to give it rest, to give it peace that can never, never be disturbed or broken, that can never be molested by sinful thoughts without and within. I say, our times are in his hand. Oh, I say, I hope we can say with the hymn writer who said, sweet the moments, rich in blessing, where before the cross I stand. Friend, our times are in his hand. You say, but it was only a moment. It was so short. Yes, those times may seem to be limited. But does he not say to you, I will see you again? And more than that, do you want to see him again? A few more moments, a few more glimpses of his dear face. Friend, your times are in his hand, and they are favoured times, they're blessed times. Though your memory may be poor and short, but those times, they are recorded within your heart and soul. But yet you remember the sweet smiles of his face. Pardoned and forgiven. My times are in his hand. Dost thou ever discover within you a desire to turn back like the sow that is washed to a wallowing in the mire? And oh, do we not tremble at the very thought and fear lest that should happen to us and we prove to be wrong at last? Oh, my times in thy hand. Dost thou pray, Lord, be thou my keeper, be thou my strength and my portion? Oh, that my times might be surely in thy hand. And from them that persecute me. Persecution is not promise that shall go away from us all the time we are here below. Deliverance from persecution will only be when we reach those happy shores above. I say then, oh, that is a place where our persecutors can never come. Whether he'll bring us through the straits of turmoil and trial and bring us safely upon those heavenly shores. Yea, never to return again to where trial and persecution comes. my times are in his hand. One closing word here, and it's this. The Lord has said, he which endureth unto the end shall be saved. Friend, what a mercy that is. Our times are in his hand. That's why his people shall endure to the end. He upholds them. He strengthens them. Yes, indeed. Good David said, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £557, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and there will be a reading service next Lord's Day in the morning, and Mr. Ince in the evening, as Mr. Hope is still unwell. Let us close with hymn 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. 329.
Thank you.
And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the teaching of thy Holy Spirit be with us now and for evermore. Amen.